Just a little too cocky. I got some scars on this part of my head. There's a pretty good dent right here. And I mean it, there was a dent. I laid on a bed that I possibly could have died in. But the hand of the Lord reached in and saved my life. And that was because I was just a little bit too quick and not safe enough. I got scars on my knees. I got scars on my elbows. I got scars on my hands from a Jack Russell that didn't like me. I got things like that in my life, and I look back, and this is true for most of you in the house. We'll get to the message in just a minute, that we look back and we find that God intervened in our life even though we didn't recognize it. And sometimes he opened up doors that we didn't go through. And sometimes he reminds us of those things. But I want to give you one in particular. This morning, my wife and I had just been married maybe a year or two, and I was working for the local phone company, you know, and I was a proud phone man. And I remember that morning I went in early, and the guy that I had trained with had trained me how to do excellent phone work, probably one of the best trainers I've ever had. Good man, taught me how to do things well, taught me how to do phone work, but he also taught me how to defend against tyrannical dogs. And when a dog would approach you on the job, he had a nut driver in his tool belt, and it was about that long. And when the dog would get close, he would hit that dog right between the eyes. And those dogs would run off and lay down. But he never gave me the opportunity to hit the dog. And so one day when I was by myself, I went out early like I was telling you. And in the notes in the job, it said, customer will not be home. Dog will be inside. And there was a fence. And I thought, well, that's good. And so I went to the side of the house, and some of you may remember this. The older homes in Marietta, Mableton, do you remember the long houses that were made out of brick and they were single level? The ones that everybody wants now, they want $500,000 for? Those. I went to one of those, and there was a fence that wrapped around the rest of the property. And there was a gate, and I had to go through the gate to get to the phone box. And I looked for the signs of a dog, and I could see the wore-out spots in the edges of the fence where it had run, but I didn't see a dog. I even went to the other side of the fence. No dog. I thought, well, I'm good. And when I went to walk through that gate, I remember thinking to myself, don't shut that gate. But I shut the gate. And I went, and the phone box was about this far off the ground. So I got down, and I worked on it a little bit. And, of course, you know, it's uncomfortable. So I sat down on my knees. And then my tool belt was in the way, so I took my tool belt off. And then I sat all my equipment down. So then it's just me and one tool in my hand. And you ever got that feeling where you feel like something's looking at you? Yeah. I looked to my left, and I saw the fence and the closed gate. And I looked to my right, and there wasn't anything there. Nobody was home. No car was in the driveway. So I went back to work. And then I got that feeling again. And then I heard a little rustling, and then I felt hot breath across the back of my neck. And I looked, and I didn't see anything, and I looked a little farther. And there was a big old mama Rottweiler. And this dog had to be named Houdini. Because I never saw it coming. And she was behind me, and I thought, uh-oh. If I move real fast, she's going to bite me. But if I move real slow, she's going to bite me. And if I run, she's going to chase me. And if I lay down, it's back to she's going to bite me. So I remember thinking, all right, I'm going to turn around and give it the high-pitched, sweet voice, right? And I turned around, and I didn't get a word out of my mouth, and every dog, every hair on the back of that dog stood up that far. And I thought, oh, we're in trouble. And I remember looking at that gate and thinking, I remember, don't shut that gate. So I had one choice. I stood up slightly, and I heard that deep growl, you know, that one that comes from in here? The one that means your arm's going to be my supper. So I took off for the fence as fast as I could run. I couldn't go through the gate, so I just went over the fence in the air. Tore my britches, rolled around in the grass, but I escaped the dog. But all my tools were inside, and I had to finish the day. And I thought, I'm in trouble. So I went to the other side of the fence, and it run around there. And I thought, well, I'll run back and get my tools before it gets back. No, it was waiting on me. And at that point, it got to be a game, but every time I'd get close, it'd still growl. I thought, well, what am I going to do? So I went in my truck, and I got my lunch out that I hadn't ate yet. And I thought, well, I'm going to throw my lunch over the other side. and the dog will eat my lunch, and I'll go get my tools. Well, I sat some of the lunch in front of the fence, so it would try to get it where it couldn't. Threw the rest of my lunch in the fence, and it did eat it, and I was able to get my tools and get away safely. I did not finish the job. But there's a moral here. There's a lesson to this story. When God opens a door for you, pay attention. Because if not, somebody might eat your lunch and jump you. And you'll find yourself in need of the Lord, and the door will be closed. And I'm not being funny right there. I know that's a funny story. But that really happened to me, and I've never forgotten that story. But that's one of those times where God provided that dog lunch so that my life would be spared. And I am thankful that God did those things, but I didn't always see that. And to be honest with you, if you're thinking in your life, there's been a lot of times where God's provided or God's eliminated or God's done something in your life that you didn't always see was going to be the answer that you needed. Now, we've been teaching over in our Sunday school class. We've been teaching Revelation, and we finished it up this morning, but there's a verse of Scripture in Revelation that we're going to harp on a little bit today. We're going to touch on it a little bit. But one, we need to understand a little bit of history. And I can't help but think of Brother Larry when I think about this. If you want a good biblical history teacher, Brother Larry Hart's a good one. But the history of John, I'm talking about John the Apostle. I'm talking about one of the inner circle. I'm talking about the one that penned down the book of Revelation. The one that had a vision on the island of Patmos because he was banned from everywhere else because they weren't going to allow him to preach no more. So they thought they'd put him on an island. Well, guess what? God spoke to him there. Then we read it often. Well, John, what's unique about him is his mother was either the sister or half-sister of Mary, so him and Jesus were likely cousins. And you go and you look and you see that John's writing this book called Revelation. God begins to give him some really important stuff and he's pinning it down. But if you look in the fourth chapter, in the first verse and part of the second verse, something happens to John. And it's important because I believe it happens to us. This is John's words. It says, therefore, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong, reading out of the wrong part of my Bible. It says, and after I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, as if it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And the reason I say that is this right here. When a person is saved, it's because God has opened the door for you to be saved. And if you're accepted and you're willing to walk through the door, what you find is that, as Brother Joe says, and you hear a lot of other people say, once a person is saved, they are spiritually reborn. And when it says, and immediately I was in the Spirit, I can't help but to see the goodness of God in that. Because there was a day when God called my name. I was 17 years old. I was in a bedroom. I was by myself and scared to death. God opened up a door for me. And yes, I went a few days later and sat with the preacher and prayed the prayer of salvation. But I believed I was saved before I got there. Because God was talking to me before I got to his office. And he hasn't quit since. But I've never been the same. And just like John, immediately, I was in his Spirit. If you look down at Revelation 3:20, if you just go a little bit farther backwards, let's look at another reference to God's door. Jesus has some words for us. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. It's another door. This time, Jesus standing on the other side of it. He's talking about the door to your heart and your life and your soul. If you look in the book of Exodus in chapter 12, you don't have to turn there. The Lord is protecting the house of the Israelites, or the doors that is marked. In other words, they've marked their doorposts so that they would be spared and their children would be spared. There's another reference to the door. It's in the book of Genesis by a man we know as Noah. In the sixth chapter of Genesis, in the 14th verse, you see something really important here. This is what God tells Noah, mark thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch within it without the pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth shall be 50, and the height about 30. And a window shalt thou make in the ark, and in the cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherewithin the breath of life from under heaven and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and those sons' wives with thee. And you think, well, man, that's harsh. You mean to tell me God said he was going to destroy everything? Yes, everything but the ones that went through the door. Now, that door was open right then. Now, if you look at verse 22, this is where we find ourselves in trouble sometimes. Just a few verses down, it said, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. God's made the promise. God's opened the door. Are we doing our part? You go into the next chapter, the 7th chapter, the 5th verse. It's repeated again. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And then you move down to the 16th verse of the same chapter. And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now, Michelle sang a song this morning. I had no idea what she was going to sing. But I remember her saying that you would be protected within. Sometimes God opens the door to keep you out of harm's way. Now, if you look to John, what was the door to John? It was a door of reality. He was able to see Jesus in his fullness, Jesus without any limitations of the mind. God was giving him a vision, and he could see Jesus just as he was. Remember, John knew Jesus on this planet. It's part of the inner circle. Now he's seeing Jesus in his fullness. And if you want to get that right, and you go back and read through Revelation, you'll see that there's a couple of times that John actually tries to sit down and worship the angel that's telling him what to do. And the angels go, no, no, don't do that. Focus on the slain lamb. He's pointing him back to Jesus. John never looks at him the same anymore. He's not like, I know that guy. That has become his Lord that's overwhelming to him. So John, it was a door of reality. To the Israelites, it was the door of protection. To Noah, it was the door of separation from the world. And in Revelation 3:20, to Jesus, it is his door of fellowship and salvation. So I got 4 points I want to go over with you this morning. They're important. Number one, the door of equality. And what I mean by equality is all who come to the door in the same boat. If a man or a woman is not saved, you come in the same fashion, lost and desperate for someone to save you, and his name's Jesus. He's offered it to you. It's there. There's no other way. And that door of equality means male, female, there are only two. Rich, poor, leader, king, peasant, homeless. Same door. No other door. But what you find is that you must believe his word. So many people today are saying, I sort of am a believer. I don't believe all the Bible. And then what you say is this, well, sir, let me help you. You're lost. You're lost. Well, no, I believe some of it. Well, that's not how it works. Either you believe him or you don't. And the door of equality means that we're all mankind, all born in flesh, all sinful, and all have the need for him. So if you don't believe his word, you're going to have a really hard time being saved. Now in the book of Romans, Paul makes it and emphasizes at the beginning of Romans through the 1st and the 5th chapter, he's writing to a group of people. He's writing to the Gentiles. He's writing to the Jews at the same time. Why? Because they're fighting. They're arguing. Christians are fighting. Can you believe it? They're not seeing eye to eye. What is it? The Jews are telling the Gentiles, hey, you've got to practice all these Jewish traditions or you've got no part with God. And the Gentiles are going, but we're saved by the blood of Christ. We don't have to do all those things. And they're fighting back and forth. And Paul, I'm sure, is probably rolling his eyes, going, oh, my goodness. So he writes a letter. In fact, a lot of the scripture that we read today common is from Romans. And it's Paul's addressing of this problem. Not just that, the Romans road. It's all contained right there in Paul's writing addressing this problem. So Paul's writing, and keeping that in mind, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, if you really want some good direction on what Paul writes, if you read the first chapter, 16 and 17 are pretty direct. There to the end is really direct. But 16 and 17 say this, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, that everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to also the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Nobody goes through a door they don't believe is going to help them on the other side. Nobody prays to a God they don't believe exists. Does it make any sense? So Paul is putting himself in the same shoes as you and I. He's saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He said, it's from faith to faith. The faith of these Jewish people that believe in Jesus is the same faith that you Gentiles believe in Jesus. What's the difference? It's all faith in him. Focus on him, not your works. And it's the door of equality that put them to at the same spot that brought clarity to them. Now, if you look over and you go to the next chapter, Romans chapter 3, Paul touches it again. Paul touches it again. We're going to look at the 21st verse. And just briefly, he said, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight. For by the law is just the knowledge of sin." Man, I tell you what. It was troubling to me to know how bad I really am and really was when I met Jesus. I've heard Brother Rick give a testimony of his life and the way that he come to know the Lord. And brother, to be honest, it's a powerful testimony. You should share it. Because when God begins to reveal in your life who you really are and what you're really capable of and what you've really done, and he still pours his mercy out in your life, amen, it opens up something inside of you that will bring you to your knees. And you'll say, God, help me. I'm in trouble. Because if I keep going this way, I'm going to die and go to hell. And then that door opens up and he says, come on in. Or he may stand on the other side. Let me come in so that we can dine together. So all who go to his door are listening to his call. Some lost, some troubled, some searching. All who are willing to be saved are equally saved from their sin, and they're saved from the Lord's wrath. Let me tell you, we understand our Bible, and we know that God's wrath is coming, but who's it coming for? It ain't coming for you and me, folks. It's coming for the ones who won't accept mercy. It's coming for ones who won't accept the blood of Jesus. Jesus took care of the wrath on the cross. You and I are going to walk into heaven without the wrath being poured out on us. But the world don't believe that. They love wrath. How about the next door? The door of mercy. Who praise God for mercy. One of the things about mercy is this. One of my children can get in trouble, and they do it. And Lord, I love them. And about halfway through their punishment, you start getting weak. And you're going, oh, they've been a good young man or young lady. I ought to just back off and just let it go. And the Lord's going, all right, you just make sure that what you do looks like what I would do. I remember my son here recently got in trouble. He had to go 5 days without being on his phone or seeing his girlfriend because he got in trouble. He's a good young man. He's got a good heart. We all make mistakes. But at the end of the fourth day, I started feeling guilty. I started going, Lord, I want to just let him get away with it and just be done, can I? About halfway through the fourth day, God said, yeah, go ahead. Tell him he can use his phone. And he can talk to his girlfriend again. Didn't take 10 minutes. She was at the house. And the only reason that a man can show mercy to his child and really understand it is to understand that he's been shown mercy. Because if we got what we deserve, we'd be in trouble. But Lord, isn't God merciful? How many of you had a donut this morning? That's mercy right there. Plenty of folks starving. We got donuts, coffee, tea, and whatever else you want. If you're one of those weirdos that eat pizza for breakfast, you're blessed, but I don't understand it. But before a person can receive mercy, they must faithfully believe that he will help you. Nobody goes to the Lord and said, show me mercy, and then don't believe that he can do it. Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt, but to him that worketh not but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I'm going to read that part again. His faith is counted for righteousness. He believes him. Even as David also described the blessedness of man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. I can't earn my way to heaven. I can't earn my way to mercy. God gives it freely. There was a man yesterday that come into my job, and he took me by surprise. I wasn't ready for it. He was standing there, and I said, how are you, brother? He said, I'm not doing good. I said, why? He said, my mother's been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. I said, how long has she been diagnosed? And he said, about 3 weeks. I said, okay, well, how long are they expecting? He said, 4 weeks. And it's what I do. It's normal to me. It's natural to me. I looked at him and I said, well, does your mama know the Lord? And I fully expected to hear, yes, she knows God. And he said, no. No, she don't. And then I thought, well, this man's got to be hurting because he knows the Lord and he's afraid he's going to spend eternity without his mama. I said, well, brother, do you know the Lord? He said, nah, we're all the same. It stopped me. I had to hesitate for a minute. I didn't understand what to do. Lord, help me. What do I say? So I told him, I said, I know that you're going through a hard time. And lost or saved, this is a tough time for you. I said, but it's really tough for those that don't have a relationship with God. I said, you can have that, and she can have that. He didn't say any more words, and neither did I. There was nothing more to say. That's why I emphasize that. That door of mercy that God has for you and I, the only reason we have it is because we believe him. Says that we're saved by grace through faith. Both are. Grace is his part. Faith is ours. So the Lord shows mercy to all who want it. All who want him to be their king and their savior. Now mercy comes from the Lord, not from man. So don't be fooled. You can wear every t-shirt. You can have every Facebook post you want to have. You can talk the talk. But if you don't believe, you don't have anything. How about the last one? Well, not the last one, I'm sorry. The third from the last. The door of reality. This is kind of what John was seeing. You must believe that he is truly Lord of all. Remember, the demons know his name. Remember, when the demons get around him, it scared them. Why did you come before the time? Remember that? Why did they say that? Because they know where their eternity is. And the door of reality for you and I is this. Can I get real with myself long enough to realize who I really am? You know, you want to know who I am? I'm a guy that works a little more than I need to sometimes. I take things a little too seriously. I get grumpy and I get stressed out. And sometimes I'll say something that I should not say. I'll be sitting at the dinner table. And my wife will say something that didn't mean any harm, and I'll have something smart to say back. And I fail. And sometimes I win. And sometimes I'm too confident in my own wins. And sometimes I don't give the Lord the credit he deserves for the blessings of my life. The reality is, I need him in everything I do. Because my understanding is finite. It's limited. Tommy Bruce thinks he's good at golf. But I can count 40 people in the room that are better than him. But you got to know this right here. When a person comes to God and they get what so many of you have, when they get a full dose of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ, it's because they come like they are, the realness of themselves, not what they want people to think they are. Amen. You can wear a shirt that said, "So blessed." Well, praise God. Do you mean it? They can put a sticker on their car with a fish on it. Do you mean it? Is it real? Do you pray? Do you go home? Do you get down on your knees and thank him for something? Do you open the word? I like Brother Joe's tactics. I'll just put stickers all over everything. That way it's just a constant reminder. I got Spanish on my wall at work with scripture on it. My favorite verse of scripture, as a matter of fact. People say, "You read Spanish?" I'm like, "No, but I'm hoping that verse will help me." I'm trying to remember the words in English to Spanish. That's a good thing. When a man realizes that they are in trouble. Now, Paul put it together pretty good. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, and this is what he says about it. He said, "For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known." What's Paul saying? You ever been to some of them old houses in Gatlinburg? Some of them old houses that are historical things, and they got a piece of glass, and you try to look through, and it's like looking through cloudy milk. You know, it's fuzzy and wavy. You can't see through it. You can't make out what's on the other side. But you can tell something's there. That's the reality of mine and your life. I don't always understand what's going on or even what I'm supposed to do. But I'm supposed to be doing it. And that's the way God works in my life. His Holy Spirit speaks to me. He gives me what I need for the time. I don't always have what to do. You don't always understand everything that's going on. It takes God to be able to follow God. It takes God to be a good dad. It takes God to be a good mother. It takes God for sure to be a preacher and a teacher and everything else. But let me tell you, it takes God to be a good person, period, and no matter what you do. Amen. So out of faith alone can a person bring anything to the Lord. You will come in your realness. So what will you bring to him? How about your career? How about your family? How about your children? How about your hurt? How about your addiction? I like the way Brother Joe said it last week. I'm addicted to Jesus. I bring that to him as well. How about your obsession? How about the real you? You know, when I get out of bed in the morning and there ain't nobody else home, I look like a slob. I don't have a suit on. I don't have a tie. What little hair I got left is in funny spots. And if you were to look at me, you'd think, "That's a scary dude." But you know, that's the real me. That's the real me. Do you ever wonder why the Lord is not working in an area in your life that you need him? Have you got a child somewhere that you don't know where they are or what they're doing in their life, and you're worried about their future? Have you got somebody in your life that you care about that you would love to see in the house of God? That's the reality of things. We all got our trouble. What do? You bring it to the Lord. We stress over it so bad till it brings us to tears, but have we poured it out at his feet? You ever wonder why God's not working or being as real in that area of your life? Sometimes it's simply because we ain't surrendered it to him. That's not even good English. But that's the truth. You know, I've heard people talk about praying over car parts when they're laying under a car, just so they'd go back in. You know, you ever prayed over a bank account? "Would this thing grow overnight so I can pay my bills?" You ever prayed over a health problem? You better come to the Lord with the fullness and realness of who you are. Because he is Lord of all. Do you want change? I can give you something, folks. Let's just be real. I told you we'd be real. You want change in your life? Come get saved. Come down to an altar of the Almighty God Creator, created everything, created you, and you can tell Him, Lord, I don't understand it. Lord, I don't have the words. Lord, I don't know what to say, but I believe Your word, and I'm lost, and I need to be saved. Lord, save me. And He's faithful to do so because your faith in Him. Last, the door of salvation. The door of salvation is the biggest one. Because when you stand at the door of salvation, you must know that He loves you. He's not willing to lose you, but He's willing to let you be lost, if that makes any sense. Now, a lot of people today, you're standing here, and you remember that time. You've never been the same. I didn't say you were always good after that. Goodness gracious. That's a crazy thing to say. But we know this right here. God's knocking on some people's door today. And He's saying, if you'll just open that door and you'll do it faithfully, I'll come in and I will sup with you. I will eat with you. I will help your life. I will infect all parts of your life, and you can be addicted in me until eternity comes, and then we'll be with Him literally. God's knocking today. Paul in the book of Romans in the 10th chapter says something specifically, very, very common scripture. It means more when you understand why he wrote it. Remember, they were fighting Jew Gentile. Remember this. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Paul set the record straight with one verse. Amen. For all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's knocking today. Life gets busy. Life gets crazy. Sometimes we have a hard time listening. We have a hard time listening. Is men in the room, has your wife ever said, did you hear what I said? And you say yes, and you just lied because you didn't. You know, sometimes it's like that with the Lord. God is trying to get our attention. God is knocking on the door. God is doing things. Things are crumbling, and He's willing to step in. But we're not willing to step out on faith that He can. And we find ourselves not looking or listening. I'll ask you last, are you looking for His return? Because one day the Lord's going to bust the sky wide open and I'm out. And my family's going with me. We're saved. And most of you, so many of you, I hope all of you go with me. I hope all of you are saved, but there's going to be a day where He comes to get His bride. He comes to get the church, and I'm leaving. And I tell you, if you are not saved, if you have not went through this door of salvation, you will not go. Amen. Why? Amen. Because His word is true, and He cannot tell a lie. Are you tired? Are you exhausted? Are you exhausted because of this world? I get exhausted sometimes. I get so mad at the TV I can't see straight. I turn it on and all I see is the things that God hates. He calls them sin. He says, don't put your eyes on that. So you turn the TV off. Sometimes muting it ain't good enough. And you look and you think, well, what am I going to do, Lord? Just turn it off. He gives a good answer. Go outside, throw rocks. It's better than watching that box. Put the phone down. Why? Because you're getting the same garbage. You want something real? You want something full? I promise it's right here. It's more vivid than that TV's ever going to be. And it's telling you the truth. You're going to see His love poured out for you. You're going to see how bad He wants you. You're going to hear the knock. You're going to see all those things, and you'll begin to understand life. And when you do, your life will gain purpose, and you'll have peace. It's amazing to me to look at some of these young kids in Haiti and Africa and Uganda who don't have hardly anything. And you can send them a beach ball at Christmas time in a red and green box, and they'll open it up and grin from ear to ear. They'll all gather around. You can hear them mentioning the name of the Lord, and they'll play soccer with a beach ball, and one will fall down, and the others will come help and pick them up. And they'll take care of that, and they'll wash it, and they'll go to bed and sleep in the makeshift bed that they've got and eat the little bit of food that they got, and they're smiling because they're saved. And we gripe because our pillowcase is torn. I'm not guilting you for being blessed. I'm thankful the Lord's blessed us. But I just got to remember where it come from. So are you tired and exhausted because of this world? I am. I am ready for Him. But I got some in the background that I know that aren't going. And I pray for them. And I don't preach at them. I just do my best to lead them. Because I want to spend eternity with them. So as we get ready to close here in just a minute, I just want to be honest with you. Sometimes I feel like, Lord, you want me to stand in front of a congregation of people that I've known for so long and preach a message of salvation? He says, yes. It boils down to this: all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you'll come to Him just like you are, in exactly in the shape you are, messed up hair and all, He'll accept you. He'll save you. He'll put His hand on you. His Spirit will move into your life, and you'll find out that, hey, I haven't been missing anything in this world. That can all just go away. And He'll set you back on track, and He'll give you the peace that you long for. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. They're going to bring a song here in just a minute. Folks, I don't know any other way to say it but this. I love you. God loves you. But I can't love you like the Lord does. I can only give you His message. I want you to be saved. I want you to bring your burdens to Him. I can only tell you these things because I've experienced some of them myself. Some of you have too. So as she sings, if God is speaking to your soul, deep inside, you know it. You come to Jesus while the door is open. God's speaking to you. Please move.
Search me.